Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Chof Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be beginning today's shiur is found about a third of the way down from the top. You will notice a framed section that lasts for quite a few lines down to the lower part of the daf, Tonu Rabbanan. From that point, our sugya today will begin. Before we continue with the Gemara itself, let's glance at the side, the margin, where we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we've written in Rak Machshava Shel Chutz Lizman Poiseles HaKorban V'lo Achilas Noisar. We will be proving that only a mindset or a thought concerning processing or eating after the time of a korban lapses, the thought concerning time lapse is what ruins the korban, and not a situation where there was no thought, but simple leaving over of the meat till after the time. That situation of leaving the meat till after the time, the meat is labeled, or is called noisar. Noisar itself carries with it a penalty of kores. However, once the korban was processed in a proper fashion, it no longer is subject to being retroactively ruined. Continuing now in the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, citing the pasuk that we spent a lot of time on in our previous shiur from Vayikra Perek Zayin, V'im he'ochol ye'ochel mibsar zevach shlomov. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, koif oznecha lishmoa, bend over your ear to listen. V'mechashev le'echol mizivchoi b'yoyim hashlishi hakosuv medaber. The pasuk, it would have been appropriate for us to actually read a little bit more than that which is quoted in the Gemara itself, and we saw this written in on Daf Chof Ches Omed Aleph, where the pasuk said, V'im he'echol ye'ochel mibsar zevach shlomov b'yoyim hashlishi lo ye'rotzeh. So the literal translation of the pasuk indicates one who eats from the meat on the third day, which would sound as if the pasuk is talking about meat that was left over beyond the allotted time. Yet we come along, Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says, "B'mechashev lechol mizivchoi b'yoyim hashlishi hakosuv medaber." The pasuk is not talking about someone who simply eats the meat on the third day, but rather the pasuk is talking about someone who, while processing the korban, he thinks to eat the meat on the third day. The third day being beyond the allotted 2 days that is available for eating a shlomim korban. The source goes on: Oy eino elo b'chel mizivcho liyoyim hashlishi. Or maybe what the pasuk is describing is the eating of the meat on the third day after the time lapsed without any incorrect thoughts. Amris, answer, Achar shuhu kosher yachzor v'yifsol. Could it possibly be that after the korban was offered properly, it would then become ruined if left till the third day? Not likely. Once it's kosher, it's kosher. The fact that the meat is left over till the time allotted lapses, that's a separate problem, but it doesn't affect the original korban in its being offered properly. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva turns to Rabbi Eliezer and says, why not? Why can't we talk about something becoming retroactively ruined? Hein motzinu bezav, vizavo v'shomeres yoyim keneged yoyim. These are different types of individuals that had been in a state of tumah. there were certain bodily releases, and then they, after waiting a certain amount of time, they then achieve tahara. They achieve their ritual purity. However, until they actually bring their korban, or wait the total amount of time, and sun sets, and they went to mikveh and the sun sets, until they completed their entire time. Let's take the example of the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. This is a woman who, upon seeing a blood release, she's considered Tamea the day of the release, of the flow, and she has to observe the next day as well in a state of Tahara. So the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, let's say on her second day, the day after she had a sighting, Shehein Becheskes Tahara, she's considered on the second day after a short amount of daytime of the second day goes by, she is said to be Tahora. However, V'kevon Shira'u Sosru, however, if she sees a flow later that day, later on that second day, she is considered retroactively Tamea. Af ato al tatame alzeh. So too, concerning the issue of the korban that's left till the third day, shafa pisha huchshur, that even though it was offered in a proper fashion, shiachzor viposel, that it can retroactively become ruined. Omar lo, Sir Rabbi Lezer says back, harehu omer hamakriv behakrova hu nifsal v'eino nifsal b'shlishi. Since the pasuk uses the word hamakriv, indicating the one who offers it, it seems clear to Rabbi Lezer that the pasuk is emphasizing a problem that arises at the time of its being offered. And as a result, he says, "Behakrova hu nifsal, v'eino nifsal b'shlishi," and it doesn't become ruined by simple lapse of time. Oy eino omer hamakriv elo ze kohen hamakriv. Maybe the word hamakriv is coming to teach me that the kohen who offers the korban, who offers the sacrifice, he becomes unfit for the kuna. Keshu omer oisoi, when the pasuk goes on to say also, bezevach hu medaber, it's a limitation expression referring to the sacrifice itself. The enoi medaber b'koyein, the pasuk samakriv oisoi, the one offering it. The it is a pronoun referring to the korban. So the pasuk is not talking about the kohen becoming disqualified. Ben azai omer oisoi ma talmud lomar. What does the word oso teach? Lefi shenemar lo yisa'achir l'shalmo. Since in another section of the Torah warns against delaying vows that one offers to the Beis HaMikdash, one who offers volunteers to bring sacrifices. So he's instructed not to delay. Yochel af me'achir nidro b'lo yirotzeh. Could it be that one who does bring his dedication with a delay, it becomes unacceptable? Talmud lomer oisoi. Once again, we focus on the word oso, and this is Ben Azai's approach. Oisoi b'leiretzeh. Only that which is featured in Vayikra Zion is unacceptable, namely a korban that was processed with an incorrect mindset. V'ein ha-ma'achir nidroi b'lo yirotzeh. And not the case of someone who brings his korban after a delay. Achir omrim, lo yechoshev. Notice we've positioned a number two over here. This is relevant. This is of relevance to the fact that there was a one mentioned above. And he says, the achirim say, b'machshova hu nifsal, v'eino nifsal b'shlishi. this represents a second approach to the idea that the Pasuk is talking about a korban that becomes ruined because of an improper thought while it's being processed, and that it does not become ruined by the mere lapse of time whereby the meat is left over till the third day. Uben azai de bezevach hachosuf medaber v'eino medaber b'koye minole. Ben azai, whose name we underlined, he darshened the word oisoi to exclude a me'acher nidro as being considered an unfit korban. We saw the word oisoi darshened before Ben Azai in a different way, which showed that the as a result of an incorrect thought, the Kohen, however, does not become disqualified. The question here is, where does Ben Azai know that point from? After all, Ben Azai used the word oisoi for a different teaching. The Gemara answers, Ibois emo nafgo le midachirim. Some say that you can say that Ben Azai learns this idea that the Kohen does not become disqualified from the same way that the Achirim learn that point. Rashi, you'll notice five lines from the bottom, Nafgale midachirim, midiitztrich kro lememar, from the fact that I needed a posuk to say, the eno nifsal bishlishi, that the animal, that the sacrifice does not become voided by its merely being left over till the third day. So we see that the focus of the pasuk is on the sacrifice itself and not the kohen. Because if you were to think it's talking about the one, the person processing the korban, namely the kohen, lomo yifsal b'shlishi, why should the kohen become rendered disqualified on the third day? The Kohen, after the Korban was offered properly, he didn't sin. Only the one who didn't eat it on the third day is considered the sinner. So the fact that the Pasuk focuses on the Korban, we see that the Kohen is not the feature of the Pasuk, as Rashi just elaborated. And that would be how the Achirim learn this idea that the Kohen is not rendered unfit, and Ben Azai would follow that line of reasoning. V'boyesema, another approach to understand where Ben Azai will learn that the Kohen is not disqualified, midichtiv lo ye rotzeh, v'lo ye rotzeh zivchohu, from the fact that the Pasuk said that it will not appease, the expression of lo ye rotzeh is not something that has relevance to the Kohen becoming disqualified. The lo yerotzeh is an expression that's focused on the zivcha, on the sacrifice itself, that it is something that is disqualified. The Gemara has a question that lasts a number of lines. This is indicated by our long question mark, and you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a circled kuf with a vertical dashed line that takes us down four lines from the top of Omid Beis. The question, Uben Azai, Oisoi below Yerotzeh, Veim Acher Nidru below Yerotzeh. The idea that the Korban, who's brought at a delay, namely, he didn't bring it when he was supposed to, he waited beyond the expected time to bring it, that is not disqualified, that a korban brought at a delay is not disqualified, is it really learned from here? Mida achirim nafko. From the mehocho nafko would have been the suggestion from lo se'achir l'shalmoi. The source that we just read mentioned Oso below Yerotzeh, the Ein Ma'achir Nidro below Yerotzeh, under Ben Azai's name. So is that really the source for this idea that Ma'achir Nidro is not disqualified? Is it really from Oso? Midachirim Nafko. It's learned from the source featured coming up in the Gemara under the name Achirim. Desanya, Achirim Oyrim, Yochel Yehei, Bechor Sheibro Shnosoi, Kipsule Hamukdoshim V'Yipsal. The Pasuk, in the context of Bechor, a firstborn animal, is expected to be brought as a sacrifice. The Bechor is given to the Kohen, and he brings it as a korban. The Pasuk says, and it's quoted in Rashi, Lefnei Hashem Tochlenu Shana B'Shana, that you shouldn't, that in the year that the animal is born, in the year that the Bechor is born, it should be brought, and not brought afterwards. Not, we're encouraging it to be brought before the year goes by. So the Achirim is raising the issue of, could it be that a Bechor whose year lapsed and only then brought it, which would be called an ichur, called a delay, well, should we treat it like psulei hamukdoshim? Those are korbanos that were rendered unfit and become posel and not be suitable to be brought, as if it developed a blemish? No, we don't say that. Tamu lomar v'yochaltu lefnei Hashem Elokecha masar degoncha v'chulei. And in this pasuk, there's a reference to bechor as well. There's a pasuk that talks about one's eating of the tithes, one-tenth of his products, one-tenth of his produce that grows. He's expected to eat in Yerushalayim. And the pasuk goes on to mention, it mentions Maiser Degoncha, and it says Ubechoyros Bekorcha, and the firstborn of your animals. Makish Bechor LeMaiser. The pasuk compares the firstborn to the tithed produce. Ma Maiser Eino Nifsal Mishon LeChaverto. Just like we know that the tithes that one takes off from his produce, the first of the 7-year Shemitah cycle, the Maiser Sheni, which is a tenth of his produce that's tithed and then eaten in Yerushalayim, is taken off the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. So let us say a person in the first year tithed his produce and he didn't bring it to Yerushalayim, or let's say he didn't even tithe his produce the first year. He waited till the second year. Does the fact that he delays in the tithing, does that render it unfit? Truth, the answer is no. It's eino nifsal mishona lechaverto. So just like the produce is not ruined from one year to the next, af bechor eino nifsal mishona lechaverto, so too the bechor is not ruined from one year to the next. Very simply stated, we have a function of a delay with regard to the Bechor, and we see that it's not ruined. So, why was it cited? Why did Ben Azai cite the Oso limitation to suggest that the Korban brought with the incorrect mindset is unfit, but the Lo Sa'acher L'Shamo case, the case about the Acher, is not unfit? We can learn that idea from over here. The Gemara answers, from over here, meaning from the case of Bechor. So the Gemara answers, Itzterich, I need an extra source. In other words, the source involving the Bechor is insufficient. Sakadai techamino hani mili Bechor. I might have thought that when is it not ruined? That's when you're dealing with a firstborn, which is brought as a korban. Delav bar hartzohu. It's not coming as a source of atonement. It's not coming to atone for a sin. Avokotshim de b'nei hartzo ninhu. However, when it comes to other sacrifices that are brought for atonement purposes, emo lo lirtzu, I might have thought that if they are brought at a delay, they would not be acceptable, kamash malon, that even though he was over, even though he violated Baal Ta'acher, he violated the requirement of hastening and bringing the korban, nevertheless, it still atones. It still is a bar ritzui. The Gemara asks, Va'akati, but still, Mehosam Nafko? Let's reread that. Mehosam Nafko. We have a third source for the issue of ichur, of delay, not being cause of the ruination of the korban. The pasuk says v'hoya b'chochet v'lo b'korban chochet. The pasuk itself says v'hoya b'chochet, and it's inferred from that that it if one delays in bringing the korban, the person is sinning. However, not the korban itself. The korban, the sacrifice itself, is not ruined. So we have this could serve as our moker that a situation of ichur, of delay, does not ruin the korban. The Gemara answers, because we should note that we're focusing our questions on what's Ben Azai's real source. So up till now, we suggest he learns from the oisoi limitation expression, and he also would learn from Bechor. We needed an additional source in addition to Bechor, so we have that. But then we're bringing into question, cannot this pasuk serve as a source for that idea? So the Gemara answers with a long answer, and we've labeled this a long answer with a tuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line constitute the answer. Uben Azai, Hahu miboyale, he needs the pasuk of v'hoye b'chochet not for the exclusion of a delayed korban as being fit, but rather v'hoye b'chochet v'lo b'ishtechochet, the one who brings a korban at a delay, he is considered a sinner, but his wife is not considered at fault or considered guilty. So you might raise your eyebrow and say, well, why would I have thought that a person's wife is guilty? The Gemara explains, Salka daita chamina, hoyu v'omar Rabbi Elozer, v'itemo Rabbi Yochanan, since it has been taught by Rabbi Elozer and some say Rabbi Yochanan, ein ishto sholom meisa ela im kein mevakshin mimenu momoin v'ein lo, she'enemar im ein lecho l'shalem lomo yikach mishkov cho mitachtecha. Rabbi Yochanan teaches that a person's wife dies because a person makes vows and doesn't pay them. So a person who makes vows and makes dedications, philanthropic offerings, and doesn't pay them up. So as a result of that, it's taught that one's wife is taken away. And the pasuk that's cited, we just saw, is im ein l'chol l'shalem, if you don't have the wherewithal to pay and you make vows without any intention to pay, lomo yikach mishkov chomitach, mishkov chos a reference to one's wife. So I would have thought that just like in the case of vow making and non-payment of vows, one's wife dies, b'hai ovon debal ta'achir nami meisah, this, as a result of the sin of delaying in the bringing of a sacrifice, one's wife might also be subject to demise. Chomash Malon, that's what Ben Azai teaches from V'hoye B'chochet, that's what he derives from that the sin of Baal Ta'achir is limited to the person who dedicated the sacrifice, and it does not include that individual's wife. It might be pointed out that even though the realm of bringing sacrifices also falls under the category of making nidorim and not paying them up, this is a case where he does pay, but he brings the sacrifice, that is, at a delay. And the point that Ben Azai is making that this is different than the case of someone who makes vows and does not pay them up. In this case, he does bring the korban, and we're told that he's informing us that even though there's a sin of bringing it in this delayed fashion, nevertheless, the one's wife is not affected. Achirim oimrim lo yechoshev v'machshovahu nifsal v'inu nifsal b'shlishi. This was the Achirim's approach to teach that a korban that's simply left over and its meat is not eaten and it becomes nosar, but such a korban does not become retroactively invalid. The korban that was brought for atonement achieved the atonement purposes. The problem regarding the meat is a separate issue of the meat becoming now osir as noisar. The Rebbe Eliezer, who learned this point of Eino Nifsal B'Shlishi, he learned this from the word Hamakriv. Hai lo yechoshev my ovidle. What does Rabbi Eliezer learn from the lo yechoshev that the Acherim learned the idea of Eino Nifsal B'Shlishi? So what does Rabbi Eliezer learn from lo yechoshev? Miboy alei l'chir Rabbi Yanai. He needs it for Rabbi Yanai's teaching. We notice that there are diamonds that accompany this Gemara. On the side of our Gemara, we've included under the Mivneh heading, a diamond is featured. Shbeis l'shoinois b'divrei Rabbi Yanai. Two versions of Rabbi Yanai. The Omer Rabbi Yanai. Before we go further, let's just review. We're looking for what does Rabbi Eliezer do with the expression of lo yechoshev. So, Rav Yanai teaches, the Omer Rav Yanai, minayin lemachshavois shemoitzios zu mizu. That's actually the topic of the next Mishnah. We'll try to say it briefly, that if someone started off a sacrifice, started processing a sacrifice with a machshavos pigul, namely, he slaughtered the meat with the intention of sprinkling the blood tomorrow. That would create pigul. And in fact, the korban would turn into a pigul of chutz lizmana, which would be chayv koreis, if the rest of the avodos were done without any additional mindsets. However, if a person, after having done the first stage of the korban with a machsheves pigul of chutz lizmano, if let us say he goes on and is mekabel v'dam with the intention of doing the zrikas adam chutz limakomo outside of the right place, that's a different machshava. It's a machshava psula, but it's a different machshava that will halt the machshava of chutz lizman from taking effect. The nafgamina is that eventually, if someone eats from this korban, he will not be chayev kores, because the mindset that generated the chiyuv kores, the chutz lizmano mindset, was halted by an additional, different machshava psula, namely chutz limkomo in this case. So the issue is minayin. From where do we know lo machshavos shemotzio zumizu, that a subsequent machshava psula can undo, can mitigate the original machshava psula? Shenemar lo yechoshev, which means lo yearev boi machshavos acheros, that if, in order for a machshava of chutz lizmano to take effect and result in the ultimate chiyuv kores, that's provided that lo yearev mixed in, that he doesn't mix in other different machshavos. V'rav Mori Masni Om Rav Yanai. Rav Mori's version of Rav Yanai's teaching is minayin lemachashev bekotshim shehu loike. From where do we know that if a person has incorrect mind sets or thoughts while processing a korban, that he is guilty of receiving lashes? Tamad lomar lo yechoshev. That's a negative command. It's a lav, and that carries with it a penalty of lashes. Omar le Rav Ashi le Rav Mori. Rav Ashi asks, how can you talk about lashes? Lav shein bo yimaisehu. This is a lav, it's a negative command, but it's done without an action. It's simply a thought. Even if it's an expressed thought, it nevertheless is not an action. The chol lav shein bo maisa ein loikin olav, and every negative command that is violated without an action, there is no malchus for that. There's no lashes. Omar le, Rav Mori answers, Rabbi Yehuda hi. This teaching of Rav Yanai is according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Omar lav shein bo maisa loikin olav. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the principle that was just suggested, and he holds that a lav she'en bo ma'isa, negative command that's violated passively, namely without an action, does warrant lashes. The sources for these two opinions concerning lav she'en bo ma'isa are alluded to in the Rashi, and they are sukyas in and of themselves. The Mishnah. Before we look at the Mishnah, let's glance at our topic heading, the Nosei, Mosai Amrinon de Nikba Bepigul Mosai Have Iruv Machshavas. When is it that something is established as Pigul, and when is it that there is a mixing of thoughts, of incorrect mind thoughts, that would mitigate or halt the Pigul from taking effect? The Mishnah. Ze haklal, kol hasheichet v'hamakabel, and it's explained that the word v'hamakabel that begins with a vav is a reference to or. These are different possibilities. It's not a chain of events. So the klal is kol hasheichet, one who slaughters, or v'hamakabel, receives the blood, v'hamahalech, or walks with the blood toward the mizbech, or v'hazorek, to the one who is going to sprinkle the blood. Any of these actions, which constitute the four stages of the offering of a korban, and he does it with a mindset as follows: lechol dover shedarko lechol, lahaktir dover shedarko lahaktir. And he's thinking about the eating of meat or the offering of innards, lahaktir kezias. It's an olive quantity, a lot of olive size worth of either meat or emurim. And what is he thinking about these things? Chutz limikomo, if he thinks about eating the meat or being maktir the emurim at an incorrect place, posel v'en b'karis, the korban is rendered unfit. But if one eats from it, he does not incur a kores punishment. Chutz lizmano, however, if his mindset is one of wrong, incorrect time, planning to eat or offer it out after the time has lapsed, pigul v'chayovim alav kores. Ubavad shiyakriv hamatir kimitzvoso. The chiyuv kores will take effect, provided that the rest of the stages of offering the korban are done properly. Ketzad korev hamatir kimitzvoso. The mission is offering illustrations of that which we just mentioned. We've featured with a house marking the word ketzad, the point at which the Mishnah offers examples of the rules that it's teaching. So we just mentioned that pigul will be chal, pigul will take effect, namely a chiyuv kores will take effect, provided that it's korev hamatir kimitzvaso. Ketzad korev hamatir kimitzvaso. So can this be illustrated? How are we to illustrate this? The Mishnah offers a few examples. Shochat b'shtika, he shechted the animal, he slaughtered the animal without any improper thoughts. Kibel v'holach v'zarak chutz l'zmano, but then proceeded to do one of these subsequent activities with an improper time mindset. Oish shochat chutz l'zmano, or he started off the korban with an incorrect mindset. Kibel v'holach v'zarak b'shtika, and then proceeded to do the other stages without any improper mindset. Oy sheshochad v'kibel v'holach v'zarak chutz l'zmano, or he did all of the stages with a consistent mindset of chutz l'zmano, of inappropriate time, namely thinking to eat the meat or offer the emurim tomorrow, or in the case of eating the meat after the proper time lapses. Zehu hamakriv hamatir kimitzvos. That's an illustration of the stages being done properly. To summarize, basically, it's either all of the stages are done with a solid chutz l'zmano mindset, or just one of the stages are done with that mindset, provided the other stages were done without any incorrect thoughts. Ketzad lo korev hamatir kimitzvoso. How can we illustrate a case to the contrary where the matir is not offered properly? The matir being a reference to the the stages that bring a korban to its fulfillment. So how is there an example or an illustration of where the matir is not offered properly? So we've broken the Mishnah down into several parts with our numberings. We have a Roman number 1 here. And on the, at the second wide line, there is a Roman numeral number 2 featuring a Pesach and Chatas, which has which have additional incorrect thoughts that could ruin them. And namely, that's the issue of Shelo Lishmo, where it's done without a proper focused identity intention. So let's go over now the Mishnah, which says, which deals with Ketzad lo korev hamatir kemitzvaso. Shochad chutz limkoimoi. He shechted the korban with an intention of eating the meat, for example, in an inappropriate place. Kivel v'holach v'zorach chutz lizmano. Notice this is a different mindset, where he has a time lapse thought. This kind of situation will not result in it becoming pigul with a chiyuv kores. He started off with chutz l'mkomo and then lapsed and then changed to a chutz l'zmano mindset. Oishe shochat chutz l'zmanoi, or he started off with a chutz l'zmano mindset. Kibel v'holach v'zorak chutz l'mkomo, and then a subsequent stage he did with an incorrect place mindset. Oishe shochat v'kibel v'holach v'zorak chutz l'mkomo, or he did all of the stages with a chutz l'mkomo mindset, which does not result in kores. Ha-pesach v'chatos sheshochton shelo lishmon v'kibel v'holach v'zorak chutz l'zmano, a korban pesach or a korban chatos, which are the only korbanos that are ruined by a shelo lishmo mindset. In this case, he started off with a shelo lishmo kavona, intent, and then did the subsequent actions with a improper time mindset. Oy sheshochat chutz lizmano, or he did the slaughtering with an improper time mindset. Kibel v'holach v'zorak shelo lishmon, and then he did the subsequent stages of the pesach or chatos with the shelo lishmo thought. Oy sheshochat v'kibel v'holach v'zorak domon shelo lishmon, or he did all stages of the korban with a shelo lishmo intent. Zehu shelo korav hamatir kemitzvaso. That's classified as lo korav hamatir kemitzvaso. When we speak about mitzvaso, the idea being as a pigul chutz lizmano, which would result in kores. These examples that were cited will not result in kores, and hence it's called lo korav hamatir kemitzvaso. A person processes a korban with the following mindset: le'echol kezayas bachutz, kezayas lemochar. Kezayas lemochar, kezayas bachutz. Kechatzi zayas bachutz, kechatzi zayas lemochar. Kechatzi zayas lemochar, kechatzi zayas bachutz. Any of these examples that we've labeled from Aleph through Dalid, the result is posel v'ein boi kores. Common to all of these is that you don't have a case of pure chutz lizmano in mind. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, we will see, disagrees with a lot of that which was mentioned already in the Mishnah. Ze haklal, kol she machsheves hazman kodmo le machsheves hamokim, pigul v'chayyovim olav kares. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the mere fact that there are mixed mindsets in the processing of a korban doesn't necessarily exempt it from becoming kores worthy. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you begin with a kores mindset, it gets locked into that. And even though there's a subsequent chutz limkomo thought, it doesn't undo the fact that he opened up with a chutz lizmano mindset, which eventually results in a chiyuv kores. However, v'im machsheves Hamokim kodmo lemachsheves hazman posel v'ein bo koris. If he started off with an improper location mindset, then though a subsequent stage is done with an improper time mindset, nevertheless the koris does not take effect. V'chachomim omrim ze v'ze posel v'ein bo koris. Whether he started with a incorrect time, or if he started with an incorrect place, neither one will turn into kores once other thoughts are mixed in. Other thoughts, of course, we're talking about thoughts that would otherwise ruin a korban. Parenthetically, if a person, let us say, was processing a korban shlomim, which is not affected by a low lishma mindset, so he started off the korban shlomim with he did shechita with the intention of eating the meat chutz lizmano, and then he did the holochas hadam or the kabbalas hadam or the holochas hadam low lishma while doing a shlomim, that would not stop the chutz lizmano mindset that he had at the outset, because lo lishma by a korban shlomim is an insignificant thought insofar as it doesn't have the power of ruining a korban shlomim. The Mishnah goes on, le'echol kachatzi zayis, bahaktir kachatzi zayis, kosher. If a person thinks about eating a half a zayis at the wrong time and then offering a half a zayis at the wrong time, zayis being a quantity, an olive quantity of korban, kosher. She'in achila v'haktor mitztarfin. The half quantity, the half of the minimum quantity that was focused on his eating at the wrong time, doesn't join up with the chatzi zayis with his haktorah mindset. Because achila, person's consumption, and mizbeach's offering, mizbeach consumption, are not mitztarif. That's what this expression, shein achila v'haktorah mitztarfin. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's take a look at what we have as a topic heading. The Nosei, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Im Machsheves Hazman Koidem. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is, as we saw in the Mishnah, that if he has an improper time mindset, if that is the first of his improper thoughts, Nikba B'Pigol, it's established as Pigol with a Kores penalty, Aval im machsheves mokaim kodem eino pigul el apostol. If, however, the initial mindset was one of wrong place, then pigul cannot take hold. We have another topic heading which is focused on the Gemara, the Nosei, machloikis ilfo of Rabbi Yochanan, a controversy between ilfo, which is a name, and Rabbi Yochanan. Im Rabbi Yehuda Omar es dinoi gam b'avoda achas. Does Rabbi Yehuda say his principle, even if the two mindsets take place during one avoda? In other words, up till now, we've explained Rabbi Yehuda as saying that if he does shechita with one mindset, and then he does the Kabbalah Saddam with another mindset, those are two different avodos, and Rabbi Yehuda said his rule that if he starts off with time, it gets locked into that and becomes Chayv Kores, even though it's followed by a Chutz L'Mekomo Machshava during a second stage. What happens if he's doing one avoda with two mindsets? Does Rabbi Yehuda maintain his ground and argue with the Chachamim, or possibly, since it's in one avoda, the chutz lemokom gets mixed up, so to speak, with the chutz lizmano that he started off with, and stops the chutz lizmano from taking effect, from taking hold, and thereby being chayev kores. As a result of the chutz lemokomo mindset as taking being able to neutralize the chutz lizmano, it would then not be chayev kores. Let's see the Gemara. Omar ilfa machlokes b'shtei avodas machlokes chachomim Rabbi Yehuda. where he starts off with Kezayas Lamochar and then Kezayas Machutz, there you have a machlokas where the Chachamim say it will not become pigul, and Rabbi Yehuda says since he started off with a kezayis lamochar mindset, it will become pigul. Aval, ba'avoida achas divrei hakol eruv machshavos havi. But if these two mindsets, the lamochar and machutz, are thought during one avoda, everyone will agree, even Rabbi Yehuda, that there is considered a mixing of machshavos. Namely, it will not become established as pigul and a chiyuv kares. Rabbi Yochanan Amar af ba'avoida achas machlokes. According to Rabbi Yochanan, even in the case of one avoda, Rabbi Yehuda will maintain his ground of tfos loshon rishon. We emphasize his opening thought, and if his opening thought was chutz lezmano, that's the way it will be established. Bishlamo the Ilfo midereisha b'shtei avodos. According to Ilfo, things work out just like the opening of the Mishnah featured different stages: shchita and then kabbalah, holocha. Those are multiple avodos. Seifa nami. The example featured in the seifa concerning the kezayas lamochar and kezayas vachutz are also b'shtei avodos. The kezayas lamochar during He had that thought during Shechita, and the Kezayas Bachutz, he had that thought during the Kabbalah or Holocha or Zrika. Elul the Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, the structure, the setup of the Mishnah would be as follows: Reisha b'shtei avodas, v'seifa b'avoda achas. After all, Rabbi Yochanan just got finished saying that even Bavod Achas is the Machlokes. So the Seifa of the Mishnah, which features the Machlokes, Chachomim with Rabbi Yehuda, we are going to set it up, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even in the case of one Avoda. So we have a somewhat imbalanced Mishnah. The opening of the Mishnah features Machshavos at different stages, and the Seifa, according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the matter, the Seifa could be set up even Bavoda Achas. Should that be the way we approach the Mishnah in this imbalanced fashion? So the Gemara answers at the top of Daf Lamed, in, yes, Reisha B'Shtei Avodos, the early opening of the Mishnah is in fact featuring multiple stages, Seifa, Bein Bavoda Achas, Bein B'Shtei Avodos. Seifa can be understood whether it be a case of the two machshavos during one avoda or during two avodas. Tnan, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Zeh HaKlal, Im Machsheves Hazman, Kodmo LeMachsheves HaMokim, Pigol V'Chayovin Olav Kores. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says a rule. He says he expresses himself in a Zeh HaKlal fashion, offering a general rule. Bishlamo the Rabbi Yochanan Hainu de Kotani Zehaklal. Things are understood better according to Rabbi Yochanan, who said that Rabbi Yehuda will maintain his position even Bavoda Achas. With that, I understand what Rabbi Yehuda gained by using the expression Zehaklal. This is generally viewed as an inclusive expression, trying to include more than that which is stated in an obvious fashion. So the Zeh HaKlal, according to Rabbi Yochanan's approach, will include the case of Avoda Achas as well, that Rabbi Yehuda will hold Tfos Loshon Rishon, go according to his opening mindset. Elo LeIlfa, my Zeh HaKlal, but according to Ilfa, that the Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, exists only in the case of Shtei Avodos, what does Rabbi Yehuda gain by using the expression Zeh HaKlal? What else is he including beyond the case of Shtei Avodos? Kashya. That point remains a difficulty. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.